Miracle on the Mountainside. A true story of tragedy transformed into life's greatest gift. By Stephen Thompson and Kim Coco. Read by Ben Houck. When you come to the edge of all that is known, and you're about to step into the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. You'll be given something solid to land on, or you'll be given wings to fly. Adapted from O.R. Melling, The Summer King. The Accident. How did I get here? I thought to myself. The recent events that landed me here on the side of a mountain, 50 feet below the winding highway above, were quite obvious. Just hours ago, I had left my hometown of Chico, California, on my Kawasaki 750. It was a beautiful afternoon for a ride. Bluebird skies, scents of dried grass filled my nostrils. The arid June heat softened by the wind blowing across my leather-covered body. Easy Rider's soundtrack boomed through my quadraphonic stereo headset. I was on the way to Salmon Falls, Idaho for a whitewater kayaking trip with my Boy Scout troop. It was an event I had been looking forward to for months. Since I was the owner of Best Way Interiors, an interior design company, I didn't have the flexibility to take 3 weeks off for the entire Western States camping tour they had planned. So, I was just going to meet up with them for the kayaking portion of the trip and return home. Plus, I wanted to do something adventurous for myself. The 80-hour work weeks lately were a grind. I just wanted a break. A man's trip. Something different from the conference-driven business functions, or the weekend getaways with family squeezed between big projects. This was also a time to celebrate a fresh start into the fifth decade of my life. As I drove, the rice fields and almond orchards of the valley floor morphed into ribbony turns lined with evergreens. Pine trees stretched as far as the eye could see. Huge granite boulders punctuated the hillsides. The Feather River thundered alongside me as I meandered uphill into the Sierra Nevadas. It was just me and the open road in a harmonious dance. At least for a while. Soon, my sweet tempo of 60 miles per hour was cut in half thanks to a 1970s motorhome that rivaled the rig in Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation. I didn't mind, though. I was in no hurry to pass. Then came a surprise. I hit an outside corner covered with shale from a recent rock slide. Oh shit, I thought. I couldn't hit my brakes in time, given my limited vision. My bike and I went sliding 20 feet over the debris, straight into the guardrail. I initially tried to jump over the barrier. I thought my landing would be okay, given the moderate slope of the canyon thus far. I was wrong. This portion of the road was nestled against a vertical drop. When I hit the post, it tore my right knee open and apart and broke the leg in such a way that it could swing up behind my head like the most graceful of yogis. My body bounded down the rough terrain. A stick punctured my stomach. My right femur was shattered. Both hips were broken, as well as all of my ribs, my left shoulder, and right ankle. Later, I learned that they stopped counting when the number of broken bones surpassed 100. My sunglasses split apart and cut my face. My helmet cracked in 3 places, yet amazingly stayed in place. I found myself in a very bent, broken position when my body finally came to a halt. Everything went black. At this point in the story, you might be wondering if this big, yuppie motorcycle was a spontaneous purchase to appease a midlife crisis. That couldn't be further from the truth. The thrill of moving fast on bikes had been with me since the age of 11. That's when my dad bought a fire engine red pack jack for hunting. This gas-powered bike had 2 wide tires on the back, set single file, and 1 narrower tire up front. The long seat, similar to the banana style of a cruiser bicycle, held my younger brother and me perfectly as we etched our tracks in the grass behind the house. Life got even better when Dad bought a 2nd pack jack that was lighter in weight. Now Stan and I could race. The course we crafted started on the far side of the yard, behind the above-ground pool, which was oval in shape and stretched 25 feet in diameter. Once the obstacles had been navigated there, we'd shoot down the north side of the fence, weaving through the evenly spaced row of cedars. Another turn brought us back across the flat part of the lawn, where we could really gain speed and goose it down an 8-foot slope. You might think that track alone would have been sufficient entertainment on long summer days, but it wasn't. We concocted the idea to cut a hole in the fence and make a second section in the field behind our house. Those dirt mounds could perfect our jumping skills. So, we got into Dad's tool shed, found some saws, and got to work. Making our way through the fence itself was easy. So was pruning the small branches of the hedge. The difficult work came in removing the thicker limbs of this pyracantha. Thankfully, Mom and Dad worked all day, and since Stan and I were in charge of the landscaping chores of raking and mowing anyway, our project went largely unnoticed. The end result was a huge figure-eight raceway with the aforementioned loop in the backyard and a mogul-laden loop across the alley. We were in heaven. We'd go through 5 gallons of gas a day and spend hours improving our lap times. Then we'd laugh hysterically when a collision was narrowly averted through the archway in the fence. Our goal was to go faster, jump higher, be better than our friends. We made it through most of the summer before a neighbor complained about the incessant engine noise out back. That's when our use of the field was revoked. It didn't matter, though. The love of bikes had been deeply woven into my psyche.